Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, or on the Pew Bible, page 867. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. As Chris mentioned earlier this morning, we're talking today about pleasing someone, and in particular, about pleasing God. But I wonder, who is it that you seek to please in life? I would imagine if we were all honest, there would be many different persons that we might suggest. Perhaps a spouse. Perhaps parents. Maybe even grandparents. Probably a boss at work. And if you're in school, you know you really need to please your teacher, especially those mean old English teachers. Just kidding. There's so many people that we have in life that we seek to please. And there's so many different ways that we try to please them. Some of those ways are not very good. And sometimes we get caught up in pleasing other people that we lose who we truly are. We lose ourselves and we lose what God would have us to be. And so as we think about pleasing folks today, I want us to think even more about pleasing God, because we truly cannot properly please other folks in life if we don't please God. It is God who has made us and been involved in our lives, even at times when we don't think so. Even at times when we run from God, we can't get away. And so we need to think about how we please God. And our example of pleasing God is God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ. Imagine the scene. Crowds are gathered around, trying to get a glimpse of this crazy man. I mean, he really is strange. He lives out by himself in the wilderness, and for most folks, there was nothing much good in the wilderness. That was the place where wild beasts gathered. That was the place where robbers would lie in wait on travelers. That was the place where evil resided. They knew that from all the way back in the early days. In fact, at the Day of Atonement, one of their most important festivals, they remembered that a goat was to be sacrificed to God in those early days, and another goat had all the sins of the people placed upon its head and was taken out into the wilderness, left there for Azazel, evil that dwelled in the wilderness. And so they kind of tentatively came along the River Jordan, probably down close to where it empties into the Dead Sea. And even that in itself, the Dead Sea, in which nothing could really live, said there was something bad about the wilderness. Suddenly, coming around a hillside, there was a crazy man. The one they had come to see. The one that had been going around preaching. He didn't wear a suit. Well, I guess in some ways he did. He wore a suit made out of camel's hair. So you definitely wanted to stay upwind of him if the weather was hot and the wind was strong. He had a strange diet. He ate locusts, grasshoppers. Had to get some fiber and some protein. And he sweetened them with honey. And he would go about in the wilderness and in towns bordering the wilderness, screaming and preaching, "Repent. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Prepare a highway for our God." And then he would call upon the people to repent, to commit themselves to God, and to be baptized. And so the crowd gathered. Some were skeptical. Some were there just to see the show so that they could say, "Well, you know, I went and saw him. He wasn't the elephant man, but I went and saw him, and he was strange." Others felt kind of a twinge within their own being, listening to what he had to say, and wondered if perhaps the Messiah was coming and this man indeed was preparing the way. Some of them even thought he might be Messiah, but he denied that. He said, "I'm just the one coming to prepare the way for that one who is so great that I am not even worthy to do the menial task of untying his sandals." That was the task given to the lowest servant in a household, was to untie the sandals of the guests and then wash their feet. People were gathered around. Some began coming into the water, listening and telling him that they were going to follow God and they wished to be baptized, that they wanted forgiveness of their sins. Suddenly, as John the Baptizer, as he was known, was raising someone from the water and helping them out of the Jordan River, he looked up. And there was, by all accounts, a rather nondescript individual who was entering the water and moving toward him. Everyone standing around just kind of figured that this man must be just another of the pilgrims who had come out to hear. John knew differently. John recognized him. He recognized him on two fronts. First of all, he recognized him because he was his cousin. And John was only 6 months older. And they had spent some time together as they grew up. And so he knew that this was Jesus. But he also recognized him on another front. He recognized that Jesus was indeed special. In fact, he recognizes in this encounter, Jesus is Messiah, the one whose path he was seeking to prepare with all of these people. Now, the Gospel according to Mark does not tell us a whole lot more about their conversation. In fact, it really doesn't give us any of their conversation. One of the other Gospels tells us that John tries to keep from baptizing Jesus and says, "You need to baptize me." But Jesus says, "No, we need to do it this way." Lest one begin to think that Jesus had sins from which to be forgiven, that is not the case. Everyone else who came to John did indeed have those sins from which to be forgiven. But what is baptism but a public declaration that you are making a life change? Jay's baptism this morning and Autumn's baptism last week indicate a change. a change that has occurred within them, a change to which they have committed themselves, but a change which they cannot keep secret. And after all, we who become Christians are not to keep that secret. And here was Jesus coming among all of these other folks to publicly pronounce a change in the way he was going to live the rest of his life. Instead of being in the carpenter's shop, he was now going to begin that public ministry. And so he comes to John for this public declaration of his ministry, but also a public declaration that indeed he is Messiah. He is Messiah, and he is carrying on from John in a greater way. Now, Jesus' message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and become part of God's kingdom. John's message was, the kingdom of heaven is coming. Repent, be baptized, and prepare for the Messiah who is coming to bring the kingdom. God made a dividing line in history and time with Jesus. And so Jesus comes to John and he is baptized. And the texts of both Mark and Matthew say that when Jesus comes up out of the water, it says he is baptized by John, and when he, meaning Jesus, comes up out of the water, suddenly he sees the heavens opened, often the translation. But the word means to be ripped apart or torn apart. Suddenly the heavens are torn apart and there is a sound. Now Luke indicates that the crowds hear a sound and they think it's either a thunderstorm or God is speaking. But they don't understand what takes place. But it is Jesus who hears that voice, which says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And it is Jesus who sees the Spirit descending like a dove. Many texts say upon him, but actually the word also means into him. That Spirit to give him guidance, to be with him in his miracles. That same Spirit that Jesus gives to his followers, every follower when they truly believe. Jesus gives us the example of pleasing God throughout his life, beginning early in his life when Luke records that he went to the temple and he was found there listening and trying to understand and learn everything he could about Judaism, dialoguing with the teachers of the law and answering questions with depth. Why? Because he prepared himself. Jesus, who continued to prepare himself and went to synagogue regularly, as was his custom, we often find the biblical text saying, when Jesus was found praying or found in the synagogue, the gospel writers will often say, as was his custom. He prepared himself through being present regularly in synagogue for worship, through prayer daily. And not just now lay me down to sleep. And now Jesus pleases God by making public that this is the time for work. This is the time for commitment. This is the time for a change. And not just a change for the way Jesus went about his living from carpenter shop to preacher and Messiah, but rather a change of commitment to others. Because Jesus' ministry in pleasing God was ministry to others. Not just to himself, not just to his family, but even to those who were unlike him, even to those who would seek to keep some people out of their religion and the temple, even to those who were marginalized by everyone else. God made a dividing line in history and time, bringing the kingdom to those who were ready to receive it. And the kingdom comes to you and to me and to others even today in the same way when we are ready to receive it. John was sent to call people to repentance and to readiness for the coming of the Messiah. Jesus then comes and calls people to repent and believe the gospel and become part of the kingdom and the kingdom's work. It is not enough for us to come down the aisle, to talk to the preacher, to get voted in, to get baptized, and then to go and just sit in a pew on occasion. It is about making a change of commitment to be present, to participate in God's kingdom and God's work in the world, in this place and outside of these walls, every opportunity we have. And the only way that the way of the Lord can be prepared for us and within us is when we open ourselves in readiness. And when we recognize that it is a lifelong task and journey. We are not just ready once, but we need to be ready each and every day. As followers, we are to give our lives to preparing ourselves to be able to know God more fully and to live in deeper appreciation of God's fellowship, to cultivate the way of the Lord as John preaches it, through study, through prayer, through meditation, through lives of charity and service. And that is how we please God. Origen, in his homily number 21, one of the early church fathers, writes the following about the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord must be prepared within the hearts of man as if it were a whole world. But see its greatness not in bodily quantity, but in the power of the mind which enables it to encompass so great a knowledge of the truth. Prepare therefore in your hearts the way of the Lord by worthy manners of life, so that the words of the Lord may enter your heart without any hindrance. Being open to that way and cultivating regularly the way of the Lord within us. That takes commitment. Jesus came and committed himself. He prepared himself. And after this baptism, the text says, he was driven into the wilderness where he was tempted. And tempted and tempted. And he also lived a life within the wilderness of living around us where he faced other temptations and other opportunities. And yet, he continued to be in harmony with nature and in harmony with other people, even those who were unlike him, even those who were marginalized. Commitment and practice are how we please the Lord. By practice, I mean follow through. Commitment and practice of prayer. Commitment and practice of study, which includes wrestling with the nuances of the Bible and its teachings and the questions that come up in the world. Commitments to meditation and practicing meditation. I don't mean that by sitting around and looking at your navel and going, "Om," but meditating on God and meditating on the teachings. A commitment to live a life that participates in worship and service to others. My friend Jim Pitts, former chaplain at Furman University, was sharing, we were talking this past week, and he was sharing about a trip. He used to regularly take trips to the Holy Land and take groups there. And he said that one year when they were visiting Bethany over the Jordan, which is near the Dead Sea, near where the Jordan River empties into there, that the guide was talking with them and talking with Jim and said, you know, this place is very often associated with major biblical events. Elijah and the fiery chariot, carried into heaven. Some have equated this particular area with where John did many of the baptisms. In fact, there is a cave of John the Baptist there. And some think that perhaps that might even be where Jesus was baptized, in that general area in the Jordan. He said, in other words, this is the cradle of Christianity, and many of the people here who still hold to that and are Christians in this area seek to live it out every day. And Jim said, well, that's really good, and you know, that's what we all hope for. But then the man looked at him and said, however, it seems to me that when Christianity went to Europe, it became a culture, and when it came to your country, it simply became a business. Oh, that our pleasing of God would be more than simply business, that it would be a way of living each and every day, committed living to God in prayer, in study, in worship together, and in serving others. Then, like Jesus, others will see our works not to please us, but to please God. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, we come to you asking that you would help our commitment. Help us to truly be those who pray, who study and wrestle with the questions, who come and participate in worship, who then depart to serve. Help us to remember there is no such thing as a closet Christian. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 564, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. As we sing, may this truly be not only our prayer, but our earnest commitment. Our altar will be open for any decision that you might make, whether that would be a first-time public profession of Christ as Lord and Savior, or to become a part of this fellowship, or to commit yourself once again to following God and pleasing God. Number 564, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.